This is your NPR station, 90.3 WBHM and 91.5 WSGN. I'm Andrew Yeager. In Alabama, there is no recorded history of the LGBTQ community, but historian Josh Burford wants to change that. He's one of the founding members of the Invisible Histories Project Alabama. The new initiative partners with universities and libraries to find and preserve what Burford calls the always vanishing stories of LGBTQ Alabamians. Burford spoke with WBHM's Esther Chemakili about the project. He starts by explaining why so much of this group's history has been lost.
Well, the queer community has lost so much history since the mid-1980s. The AIDS epidemic wiped out one entire generation of community leaders, and their histories were oftentimes intentionally destroyed. And so the history itself, because we're not actively preserving it, every time one of our community elders passes away, all that institutional memory is gone. Because our history is not in textbooks. It's not being talked about in schools. We can't even conceptualize the things that we've lost because we don't really know at this point what we have.
Can you describe a little bit about what you've learned about the LGBTQ history of Alabama?
Even a person like myself who teaches queer history all the time was wrong. There's this mythology about the South that either queer people don't exist here, because why would we? Because of small C conservatives and religion, as if somehow queer people are not religious and conservative, that we were always behind. There's this enduring myth that the South was 20 years behind, like New York and Chicago, that our history is, if it exists at all, is very young. And so for a historian, like 80s and forward. And all of that is untrue. The oldest thing that we've collected so far is from the turn of the 20th century. And so if what we have are stories of gay men and women who were not surviving the South, but living and thriving in the South. Those stories we're uncovering every single day, and it changes conceptually the entire narrative of what the queer South looks like.
Talk about that old bit of history that you found. You said it was from 1912, a chat book from 1912. What's a chat book?
So chat books were real popular at the turn of the century. They were part diary, part poetry, and it was a way for people to take their personal histories and to put it in narrative form. And so this chat book, which the book itself goes from 1912 to the 1940s, it was written by a man who lived in Birmingham, who came back from the First World War and had this relationship with a man. And he writes this, the poetry in this book is, it's that sort of like turn of the century kind of scandalous, right? Where it's so tame for us, but it's so intensely personal. And that to have recovered it from a thrift store, right? A community member finds it in a thrift store for a few dollars and all of a sudden realizes, oh my God, like I might have found the oldest intact piece of Alabama history that we currently know exist. And that piece in and of itself inspires us to want to go and find more, because if that exists, then other things must exist too.
What has been the most difficult obstacle to overcome as far as finding that history in Alabama?
We have to convince people that their history is important. My colleague Megan Sullivan had said the other day to someone, if I had $10 for every time someone said, well, my history is not important, the project would have a $5 billion endowment. Like, people generally don't imagine that their history is important, because we've conceptualized history as the history of sort of like large faces, right? So like MLK is not the whole civil rights movement. Like, there's millions of people involved, but we want a celebrity, one person. And the queer community doesn't really have that. And so it's individual people toiling away, oftentimes in isolation or in very small groups, making what for them are small gains, but for the community is a large gain. And so convincing someone who's 70 or 80 that their life existing, living and thriving is important to the history is difficult. People don't believe it. They're like, well, that's not important. And the other part's just sort of the plain difficulty of this kind of archaeology, like trying to figure out, the queer community has been defined by the closet for so long, and that closet is both internal and external. And so people have hidden parts of themselves from themselves and from others. And so trying to go back and take like the one out woman in Huntsville who wasn't existing by herself, and then create a history around her of other people, it's difficult. The closet served a really useful purpose for survival for a really long time. And you can't fault someone for trying to protect themselves. But now we need them to be visible. And so it's those two things kind of working together against us.
Where are you now with that, and what's next?
Where we are now is just like getting that word out, letting people know that we're real, that this project is being run by people from Alabama who identify as LGBTQ, that we want everyone in the community to feel like they are part of this process, that their histories matter. But we've made a decision that we're going to prioritize any history of a queer person who's over 70 And so if there's a history there that needs to be taken, no matter where in the state, we will go and we will get it. One of the things I think for me is that when you look at what's happening to our queer elder community, so the folks over 70, and then our youth, so people under 20, like their problems that they're facing are very similar. When to come out, access to resources, how to access community. We want to take those groups and then put them together and imagine a world when they're in the same space, like what is transformed.